KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles, KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo, a service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender-expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now.
I put my hand by yours, so you know I wanna hold it. I say my prayers at night, but I know who controls it. I fall in hard for you, but I know I don't show it. I take your love for me, but I know I don't own it. It's not gonna be a big production. It's not butterflies or fireworks. Said it's gonna be a tiny garden, but I feed it every day. I feed it. Something wrong with the pace. You fall in love every day now. Think of you when I wake. A premonition of fate. I put my flaws on display to scare you away. You put your feelings on hold. Winter came and it got cold. You wanna be sure that I'm sure that I want you. Not just someone fun to do. Someone to hold and zero below. You ask why I'm so cold. Iceberg hard. But look below. Iceberg hard, but look below, I'm sure. It's not gonna be a big production. It's not butterflies or fireworks. I said it's gonna be a tiny garden, but I feed it every day. I feed it.
Each night, listen close and listen wide.
Bring anything from my past life,
life in the jade dome, yeah, it's alright.
Watch all the purpose, replace my top light slowly over time.
The seed has all the information.
It's not gonna be a big production. It's not butterflies or fireworks. Said it's gonna be a tiny garden, but I feed it every day. I feed it.
Every day I feed it.
Happy birthday to Meryl Garvis of Toon Yars. Hers is on Sunday, March 3rd, from the last album, Sketchy. That was Hold Yourself, and also marking what would have been Miriam Makeba's birthday on March 4th with Pata Pata. Welcome to She Rose Radio, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It is so great to see you as always, as together we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation for the next hour. This week, our featured guest is Amber Bain, a.k.a. The Japanese House. Can't wait for you to hear that one. It's coming up in the second part of the show. Right now, new music from Maggie Rogers. Her new album is coming April 12th. It's called Don't Forget Me, and here's the title track.
My friend Sally's getting married to me. That sounds so scary. I'm still trying to clean up my side of the street. I can't imagine what would happen, 'cause I'm still acting out of habit. Hoping dirty words just don't escape my teeth. Oh, but every time I try just a little, promise that I'll meet in the middle. Always find my way back to my feet. So close the door and change the channel. Give me something I can handle. I could love her or someone that's nice to me. Take my money, wreck my Sundays. Love me till you're next somebody. Oh, but promise me that when it's time to leave, she says to God could be a family. Says he's got the greenest eyes you've ever seen. But it's crazy all the days she spends just following him to parties. She seems happy, oh, but that's not love to me. Oh, but every time I try just a little, promise that I'll meet in the middle, I always find my way back to my feet. So close the door, change the channel. Give me something I can handle. I could love her or someone who's nice to me. Take my money, wreck my Sundays. Love me till you're next somebody. Oh, and promise me that we, waiting on the next street just for me. Oh, just for me. So close the door and change the channel. Give me something I can handle. I could love her, someone is nice to me. Love me till you're next somebody. Oh, but promise me that when it's time to leave, oh, won't you promise me that when it's time to leave, don't forget me. Don't forget me.
Bye.
Sending birthday wishes out to my friend Jess Wolf, one half of Lucius. Hers is on March 3rd, and from the debut album Willed a Woman, which is marking its 10th anniversary this year, that was Don't Just Sit There on She Rose Radio. Also new from Maggie Rogers, Don't Forget Me, which is the title track to her new album, which will be out on April 12th. I'm Carmel Holt, and stay with us for this week's She Rose Conversation with Amber Bain, a.k.a. The Japanese House. That's coming up next.
Commercial radio is full of endless obnoxious ads.
Wednesday night.
On public radio, your support replaces them. Subscribe today and keep the SoCal Sound all about the music at thesocalsound.org.
Apoyo para Latin Alt HD3 es posible por Robin and Rhonda's Our World Thrift Store, una pequeña empresa local, minutos del campus de CSUN, ubicado a 2039 Glen Oaks Boulevard en la ciudad de San Fernando. Como dice su slogan, una tienda diferente con todo lo que estás buscando. Robin and Rhonda's Our World Thrift Store está abierto 7 días. Más información en 818-365-3902. Otra vez, eso es 818-365-3902.
Thanks to our friends at Live Nation, the SoCal Sound is your chance to see OMD's Bauhaus Staircase Tour at the Greek Theater on September 19th. Current members can find contest rules and enter to be eligible to win a pair of tickets at thesocalsound.org. No purchase necessary. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. OMD, the Greek Theater, September 19th.
Support comes from the Getzman Group, celebrating 25 years of helping companies in all areas of finance and accounting with professional staffing solutions. Information at GetzmanGroup.com. GOETZMAN Group.com.
Dropping the dopest new joints.
Where Southern California discovers new music and rediscovers great music.
Gets you going, never gets old.
88.5 The SoCal Sound.
You're listening to She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. UK singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Amber Bain has been obsessed with music nearly her entire life. As a teenager, Amber began playing in coffee houses and writing and releasing music under the moniker The Japanese House. Her career got underway before she even turned 20, and success was soon to follow. A fortuitous introduction to members of the 1975 led to getting signed to their label Dirty Hit. Her debut EP, Pools to Bathe In, came out in 2015, and the 1975 took Amber out on the road as the opening act, and she toured with her label mates Wolf Alice. Amber released a second EP, Clean, in 2015, then four more, including a live EP before her critically hailed full-length album, Good at Falling, came out in 2019, which she co-produced with George Daniel of the 1975 and BJ Burton. The EP Chewing Cotton Wool followed in 2020, and then when the pandemic hit, Amber hit a creative block. Lucky for us, she found her way out of it and last June released her incredible second full-length album and her seventh release overall, In the End, It Always Does, which, among other things, marks a revelatory turning point in Amber's creative process. She worked with producer and engineer Chloe Kramer, which would be a life-changing experience of working with another queer woman in the studio for the very first time. As she prepares to head out on a massive 2024 tour that kicks off in April at Coachella, I'm so thrilled to welcome Amber Bain, a.k.a. The Japanese House, as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Amber Bain, The Japanese House, welcome to She Rose. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Congratulations on this beautiful new album, In the End, It Always Does. What was the start to this album? Where did it creatively begin for you?
With this album, I'd ended the tour and then it was the lockdown. In 2020, I just was not productive at all. I think a lot of people either went one of two ways. It was like, what, didn't Charlie XCX release like two albums or something crazy? And then I was like, oh, I'm going to release a million albums, but just had complete creative block. So then I turned the corner when I started working with Chloe, who is the producer who worked on the whole of the record with me. I'd never worked with her before, but as soon as I started working with her, I realized like we had something really good going. I'd never worked with a woman before and not a queer woman. And I think it just like injected a new kind of like understanding into the music and like made us like grasp queer elements to songs like Boyhood, for example, that I hadn't really experimented with before.
That's amazing. And I'm so glad that you brought that up right at the jump.
Yeah,
because
jumped in.
It always makes me so happy to see that there's a woman behind the boards, a woman producer. In the States, the number is still super low. Like, I think it's less than 2% or something of producers are women.
Bonkers. Yeah. But there are so many women that produce, but I think maybe a lot of them are artists too, and people assume that they don't produce. And I have definitely in the past been guilty of assuming that there's a man behind it, because that's just kind of like the rhetoric that is told to you from the start. Like the first ever meeting I had with a manager, as in not my manager, but like potential manager, he said, "Oh, your USP is that you're a girl, but you can also produce." And I at the time was like, "Yeah, that's so cool that I can do that." And it's like, it's false information that if you're a girl, it's special if you can, because not many girls can do that. It's like, to me now, it sounds as backwards as being like, oh, it's kind of cool that you can drive, but you're a girl.
So tell us about Chloe. I don't know that I've encountered her name before.
I met her through my ex-girlfriend. She used to work at the church, which is Paul Epworth's studio in England. And she was an engineer there for years and years. And my ex-girlfriend used to also work in that studio. So they knew each other. And then she ended up coming to a show and I met her. And then we reconnected like a couple of years later when I was in this sort of rut. And my girlfriend at the time was like, why don't you reach out to Chloe? Because I knew that Chloe was into my music. And I've only ever really worked with two people, that BJ and George from the 1975. And I was quite hesitant to work with a new person. I'm very particular. And then I reached out to her and I decided to drive us to the studio. And for some reason it took, I think it's supposed to be about a 40-minute drive. It took about 2.5 hours. It was kind of an amazing way to sort of start the session, because it could have been terrible and awkward, but we were kind of just like chatting to each other for 2.5 hours and getting to know each other, which I've actually realized is a big part of how we work. Because to feel creative, I think you have to be really open and you have to be really like emotionally vulnerable. And she's really good at making me feel comfortable and really like getting the best out of me. But yeah, she's an engineer, but now she's more into producing. So she's worked with like countless people.
Rex Orange County, Lava LaRue, who I love, and Glass Animals as well.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that actually. Yeah, she's incredible. And we've been working on lots of different projects separate to this together. And because it's so powerful working with another queer woman, we're looking into like becoming a little production duo and working with other people, because I think we just kind of wanted to share that experience. And we've worked with a few people already and it's been amazing. I don't regret not experiencing it before, because I think I'm able to like recognize why I appreciate it so much of this now. So it's been a really great experience working with her. I would never work on anything again without her, I don't think.
That's amazing. And I'm going to have to take note of how I can connect artists with you and with this new production team, because this comes up almost every episode, I have to say. Like, so many people come to the table wishing that there was somebody. Say that it's hard to find, you know,
so
the resources. Yeah. And that if they could only work with a queer woman on their project. Like, actually, I just had Rami on the show actually twice for this new album. And that was one of the major things we talked about. Also, just queer run spaces in general, like music venues, production houses. And it's a thing, you know, and it's hard to articulate. And that's one of the things that I'm really excited to do with you, if you're up for it, is to articulate the difference and to say like, yeah, it is different. It is important. And here's why.
Yeah.
Because people don't even know they should ask for it, you know?
It's hard to articulate. And yeah, I know I've met Romy once and I know Romy's on a football team. Actually, I don't even know if they're a queer football team, but I briefly like went into that world when I was in London of joining my friend's football team, a different one. And like suddenly feeling, one, like it was like a dating app for queer people, but also there was this like sense of community that I hadn't felt necessarily that much in other spaces. And actually I started doing that when we were recording the album. And I remember feeling like this mirroring of community from being with Chloe and then us both going to this like football pitch with a bunch of gays and women. And I think the thing that ties those two experiences together is like seeing yourself reflected back at you. And like, it's very rare you're not the only gay woman in the room. Well, I mean, in my life, it's not anymore, thank God. But like, in the day-to-day life, like you go to a supermarket, like you don't realize the weight that holds on you until that weight is released and you're around everyone that is the same as you, at least the same as you in this specific way. And like, once you feel like it's the norm, it just feels very freeing and you're able to like explore other parts of yourself, maybe, that identify you other than this thing that you're queer. Yeah, it's just being understood on a level that's deeper than your average person can understand you on, if that makes sense.
It makes so much sense. And it also makes so much sense how special this collection is. I'm sure it's special in so many ways, including the relationship that I know is documented here, which I would love to talk about as well, if you're open to that.
Yeah,
but why don't we get to music? What was the first track that you worked on with Chloe?
Oh, it was Morning Pages. I was very protective and like this, I'm working on my laptop sort of vibes at the beginning. And then she was like, oh, I can give programming some drums a go. And I was like, okay. And that was one that I'd thrown at a lot of different producers and nothing had landed. And as soon as I came back in the room, I remember being like, oh my God, she's got it. And texting my girlfriend like, oh my God, this is the best idea. I can't believe I've left it so long to do this. And just instantly, like, just like George does.
This is George Daniel from the 1975,
yes,
for listeners who may not know who George is. Yeah.
Yeah, I've known him 10 years, so we have this language. He just understands exactly what I mean when I say things and exactly how I like things to sound. And Chloe just got it instantly. And I think probably a mixture of, she's just very perceptive and she's also been a fan of music for a long time. She's just like an incredible producer and her brain works in a very similar way sometimes to me, which I really appreciate.
Is there anything that you want to tell us about the lyrics to this song or what the song is about?
Yeah, this song, it's called Morning Pages because during the lockdown, I was trying to break my creative block and I started reading that book, The Artist's Way. Mm. And I, to be honest, I read about 5 pages of it. Like, I didn't get through it. And it's actually quite bad because I've called, people would assume from the title of the song that I was like a big Artist's Way fan, which I am, but just the first 5 pages because I got distracted. But basically, the activity is, every single day, write, I don't even remember how many pages, just write like 3 pages and then you can get rid of them. Like you're just like scrawling whatever the first thing that comes into your head is. And I wrote one and it's this song and I just wrote the lyrics in one. And then I was like, I really like these lyrics. And then I put it in a song and then I never did a Morning Pages again. So it's just kind of like a stream of consciousness. And yeah, I guess the lyrics, I guess they're about my relationship. And it's just a snapshot of my life at that time. And I really had the day before, like, driven to the cliffs in Margate to go for a dog walk. And there was this girl there who, she had actually gone to see the sunset, but she was on the wrong side. So she asked for a lift back and she was just like a random tourist. And so I gave her a lift to the station. And then I was just like, oh, that was the time where nothing was happening. And like in my brain, that was just like a magical moment. Now, I don't know if I'd read that as like magical, but I was like, that's so great. Like that I gave her this lift and like had a little chat in the car. Like it just felt like what I needed to feel alive when it was just so repetitive.
Making my That's Morning Pages. And it was it co-written then or just featuring Katie Gavin of Muna?
It's a really weird structure. So I guess it's a verse. She kind of had a prophetic twang to her lyrics because her lyrics are about, I guess, a love turning into something else or maybe slightly fading. And to me, they weren't. And now I listen to it and I'm like, ooh, that makes sense. She just has a way of like, I don't know. She kills me with her lyrics and her voice, to be honest.
So for those that don't know, Amber, your background, when did you start making music of your own and know that this was the path that you wanted to follow?
Honestly, since I was about 3, I was just obsessed with it. Since I could hold my dad had a little ukulele at first. He got it for me when I was a baby. And I just became absolutely obsessed with music. I was obsessed with the Beatles for a long time. I remember when I was 5 or 6, I had a Beatles cover band at school and we used to walk around the playground, like singing harmonies together. There's 3 of us. What did we call ourselves? Beatle X. I think it was called Beatle X. There was a band called Liberty X.
Yeah,
and I think we were we're Beatle X. I don't know.
We
obsessed with the Beach Boys. And my dad used to drive around in the car and he'd play a game where he'd sing something and we'd sing the harmonies. So kind of obsessed with doing that. And then I just kind of had this feeling that I just knew that that's what I would be doing. Like it felt kind of like arbitrary to decide what career I was going to do, because I'd be like, oh, I'm going to be a political journalist at one point, or I'm going to be a vet. But alongside, I was making music and I didn't really take anything else very seriously. And then what gave me hope having music as a career was in my last year of high school, I actually uploaded my song onto this random radio station called Amazing Radio, but it was quite small at the time. And I just uploaded it on there, to be honest, so I could listen to my songs at school, because that website wasn't blocked at school. We weren't allowed iPods or anything. So if I had it on that website, I could put headphones into the computer at school and listen to my songs, stream it through that. But then it got picked up on this radio station. They used to play it quite a lot. And then I got talking to a bunch of different managers, blah, blah, blah. And then I met Matty and George, 1975 boys, and became friends with them and joined their label, basically, which was tiny at the time. And then they absolutely blew up. It was so exciting being 18, 19, seeing my friends who had just played in a 200 person venue to then playing massive shows and becoming really famous, I guess. And then me working with them. It felt so exciting at the time. And my friends becoming pop stars. I thought I was very cool. And then stayed with Dirty Hit for years, kind of just writing songs, recording, not releasing anything, and then finally released an EP, and then that's how it all started, really.
What a story. That's crazy. First of all, I just want to say how awesome, how supportive they were, and that it was a good experience and a long relationship, because it could so easily have gone the other way when you have a dynamic like that where there's dudes that are, on the rise, rock stars, and a young woman, teenager, really. Yeah. You look at that and you're like, okay, that could be great or could really not be great. Sounds like it was a really positive experience for you.
I think also just they're also really young at the time. They weren't older dudes. They were still super young in their early 20s, I guess. And I think when there's a gay woman and straight guys, it just kind of takes an element of weirdness potentially out of the situation. Not that if I wasn't gay that there'd be vibes or anything, but I think it's almost just enforced a platonic relationship, because it does feel siblingy in a way. I think a lot of the time when we think about older men and younger women, we feel protective of them because there's both a power situation and also a sexual thing at hand, which feels uncomfortable. And also I see it happen across the industry, repeated again and again, that men help out younger women because they want to them, basically. But there was none of that. I guess in the grand scheme of things, that is lucky. But also, I've never really even considered that with them, because it's just not our energy at all. And we just have such an obsession with music. And we've definitely not seen eye to eye on certain things. But ultimately, when it comes down to music alone, we really understand each other. And it's hard because sometimes that does not mean you understand each other on everything. And obviously there have been things that I've spoken openly about, like with Matty specifically, things that he said that I don't agree with. But it's a conversation that is like continuous. I think it's better than halting the conversation. I'm getting more comfortable at sitting in this uncomfortable space.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And I feel like even at the beginning when you asked like what my pronouns, makes me think of that, because it's like, that's another thing that I'm like, I've accepted that I don't think I'm gonna get to like a destination on that. Well, maybe I will, but definitely not now. Like a lot of things in my life at the moment, I feel like I'm just like sitting and learning about before like actually acting on. I think it's good to like sort of sit in the uncomfortable place of like the unknown, and then you will understand what you really, really feel about it. Like, or maybe you never will. And that's also okay. And I feel like that with gender, which is, I guess, kind of what Boyhood is about. Boyhood was a song that started with me singing like absolute gibberish. We had that for ages, but we almost like knew what the song was going to be about. I mean, the title is a reference both to literal Boyhood and also that film Boyhood. And it's both a reflection on like how your childhood and different things that happen to you, whether traumatic or positive or whatever, like shape who you are. And you can choose to embrace those things, or you can choose to set yourself free from those things. It's kind of exploring like, what is the making of you? Gender, and obviously being gay comes into that. You can't help that stuff coming into that scenario. Like, if I had a different childhood, would I be non-binary? Or would I want to be a boy? Or would I be like the opposite and really set in my she, her pronouns? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of interesting to me how those things come into play. And yeah, I kind of have landed on the I don't know stone. I'm just sitting here like, I don't know. And that I'm happy not to know. And that kind of accepting the core of me, which is just, I always jokingly describe myself as like a little creature, because that's kind of how I feel. But yeah, I just feel like very content with whatever it is that I've ended up being. I mean, after a long time of working to like get to a good place. But yeah, that's kind of the essence of what Boyhood is about, and just lamenting something that you could have been, but also embracing the thing that you are.
That's Boyhood from the new album by the Japanese house Amber Bain, our guest today on Shiro's. And I'm Carmel Holt. The new album is In the End, It Always Does. It's been so awesome to spend all this time with you. I feel like I could keep talking to you for another hour, but all good things must come to an end. But I'm sure that this won't be the last time that we talk. Before we wrap up, I want to do the closing exercise, which is called the Shiro's Magic Wand. Are you down with this? Are you ready?
Okay.
So I'm going to hand you the Shiro's magic wand, Amber Bain. With this wand, you have the power to change anything in music for women and queer folks. First wave of the wand, what would you change?
What would I change? Well, the first random thing that came to mind, which is crazy that it's still coming to mind, because I feel like it's been a conversation since like the dawn of time, which is like festival lineups. It still annoys me. I'm so bored of festivals being all men. And I'm just like, guys, seriously. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. So I guess I'd be an advocate for equality in festival lineups. But maybe that's quite a boring one.
It's not boring at all.
So yeah, that's my magic wand wave.
Thank you for that wish. May it be so. Amber, it's been amazing to spend time with you. Want to pick one more track?
You pick.
Maybe Sunshine Baby.
Yeah, that's sonically positive.
Anything you want to tell us before we play it?
I really love this song. And this is the one that I'm most excited to play live because it feels like people really seem to connect with it. And I just really love that. I feel like as a song, it kind of encapsulates sonically like what I want to be making.
I want to be a part of it. I want to sing along. The feeling when the windscreen wipers line up with a song. For my stupid rituals, everything is cyclical. Hold on to this feeling, cause you won't feel it for long. You won't feel it for long.
Big thanks again to Amber Bain for being with us on Shiro's.
Thanks so much for having me.
Many thanks to Amber Bain for being with us. The new album by the Japanese House, In the End, It Always Does, is available now on Dirty Hit Records. Next, we close the hour marking Karen Carpenter's birthday, and I've got a brand new song by Lake Street Dive to share with you when Shiro's Radio continues.
Hey, it's Nick Harcourt inviting you to join me for The Morning Show with Jet, weekday mornings from 6 till 10 with regular giveaways, features like our Latin Alternative Track of the Day, Nick's Pick, and Fresh Squeeze Track of the Day, and we play more music than anywhere else in town. Join us weekday mornings, 6 till 10, right here at 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
It's Shiro's Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. Karen Carpenter was born March 2nd, 1950. Here's Close to You.
Do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Just like me, they long to be close to you. Why do stars fall down from the sky every time? That you were born, the angels got together and decided to create a dream come true. So they sprinkled moon dust in your hair and golden starlight in your eyes of blue. That is why all the girls in town follow you. Just like me, they long to be close to you. Like me, they long to be. close to you.
Wise Blood from Titanic Rising. That's Every Day on She Rose Radio and celebrating Karen Carpenter's birthday. She was born on March 2nd, 1950. It's Carmel Holt. And before we wrap up this week, hot off the press, I am so excited to bring you a brand new song from Lake Street Dive. The new album is called Good Together. It's out June 21st. Here's the title track.
I know.
Brand new from Lake Street Dive, the title track to the brand new album Good Together, which is out on June 21st. That does it for this week's show. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. She Rose Radio is produced by me and is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast, where you can hear full versions of our interviews distributed by Talkhouse and available everywhere. Keep in touch. You can call us 833-MY-SHERO. On Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Carmel Holt, or find us at She Rose Radio and online at SheRoseRadio.com. Until I see you next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks so much for listening.
88.5 FM KCSN and KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo. A service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.